Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Hands towards heaven. Jesus, we invite you into this place. Holy Spirit, the Word of God says that you hover over us right now. We ask you to just fall in every square inch of this place, in, on, and through each and every single one of us. We invite you, Lord, speak through us. Let us hear through your ears, see through your eyes. Father, and we thank you that our hearts are good, ready soil for the seed you have planted for us today, Father. We invite you. We invite your presence, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We join with heaven today, singing glory to God. Hallelujah, for you are good, and your love and your mercy endures forever. Jesus, we welcome you. We worship you. We praise you, Father. Oh, Lord, have your way today in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen like you agree with it. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, it's really good you came today. Oh, man. Speaking of really good you came today, we've got Mike Felder. I'm so happy to see you. You made my whole day. We love your family so much. We've been praying for you, and we love you. Each and every single one of your family, they're so precious to us, and man, I'm not going to get emotional, but I love that family. I really love that family. I love all of you, but I'm really grateful. Really grateful that you're in my life. And I remember setting up at the old building for your first baby shower. And the little cake we had, it was a blue champagne cake, and they forgot the topper. I don't know if I ever told you this. They forgot the little topper, and I was like, baby shoes, that's cute. That's always cute, right? So we put baby shoes, and I remember that. And now your kids are growing up, and it's just really cool to see what God has done in your lives, and I'm really honored I've got to be a part of it for all these years. So we love you, right? We love them, don't we? Okay. I want to start today. I know the Holy Spirit's going to do some fun things in this place today, but I wanted to start with some testimonies. Does anybody have some grace testimonies from this week of some good things? It could be healing. It could be financial. It could be, you name it, anybody. Anybody in the room. I don't want to miss. Miss Susan. Yes, come on up. Would you give her a round of applause, my great friend?
So some of you know that Milton was headed for Florida. My parents live in Florida. And as I was praying, I also then said, angels, go and protect them. And so I didn't see a vision, but I had this idea that, yes, there's an angel. Blonde hair, white robe, sitting on top of my parents' house. He was not sitting on top of the carport. Therefore, Milton and wind did something to the carport, which then scratched the car. But nothing in the house was damaged. The electricity stayed on. The church that they go to across the street does not have electricity. That congregation has to do online because there's water in the ceiling, and the ceiling fell down, and they have to have electricity to fix the roof and the ceiling in the church. So mom and dad did not have water or sewer, not because of their community, but because Leesburg had some issues. But that got transferred, that got corrected by Friday afternoon. Their phone started working as of yesterday afternoon, and so praise God, everything that did happen, they still were spared.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's awesome. That is awesome. Man, we so love your parents. Oh my goodness, they're the best. Anybody else? Any other testimonies? Yes, Luke, come on up. We'll do Luke, then Cassidy after, and we'll keep going if we need to.
So kind of a simple thing, but, you know, we got the storm here a few months ago with the really heavy winds, and we were able to get most of it out, but there was some stuff that was kind of out of my reach. So we had a tree company, you know, that I had kept in my phone. They helped us when we first kind of bought our house to take care of some damage and some trees that we didn't want around the house. So I called them. They came out, you know, gave us a quote of, I think it was like $900 to trim all three of our trees, which to me, I didn't honestly check with anybody else, but I didn't feel like I needed to because I knew who they were. I knew who this company was. They've been very kind to us and always gone above and beyond. So just kind of prayed over that. You know, we asked, as we always do, like, hey, is there a cash discount? There wasn't. He called the owner. The owner remembered us and said, take care of them, gave us $100 off, still did the same amount of work. I had to go home to make sure they were, you know, good and doing the things, and there was a big branch that we hadn't necessarily decided if we wanted it cut down or not, so I talked to the main guy on the job, called the owner again, said, hey, this branch is here, it's going to take a little extra work, should I charge them? He said, no, they're faithful customers. Let's take care of them. So they cut it down. I have never been so amazed of tree cutting in my life. This guy cut it in one saw, cut this giant, like, 20-foot branch down, and I just stood there in awe, like, that's why I hired you. So was just really awesome. They did it without any complaint, and then afterwards they asked if they could use our extension cord, which they do. Came with a microwave. And they were out there with the propane and doing tortillas, so I was really jealous at that point. But, you know, in that moment, I knew that they took care of me, and I probably would need them again because my trees are still there. So I felt it on my heart to be kind to them, so I brought out lawn chairs and gave them an extension cord, and they put everything back by the house, and they left. So it was really cool.
Praise God, yeah. I love that. Favor all the way.
Yeah. So yesterday, I ran a half marathon out in Springfield. I was really excited about it. I haven't done it in a few years. And I'm just like, I have a time that I want to get under, and we're going to do it. And I had about, I think, 3 miles left. And about halfway through it, like, I realized I hadn't stopped to walk, and that has never happened before. And I was like, we're going to finish this. Like, we're going to do this whole thing. We're not going to stop to walk. It's going to be great. And about 3 miles left, I started feeling a lot of pain in my ankle. And I was like, no, we are not stopping. Like, I am healed from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I am healed. Like, thank you, Jesus, that I am finishing this race. And I was able to finish without walking. I was just really grateful for that. But also, when I finished, I was speaking with the lady. She's super nice, and we just got to talking, and she said, like, my husband's running this race. He had just had his hip replaced within 6 months. And I'm like, that is incredible. And so he was about a mile behind me, and I'm just like, I'm going to wait here with you. And she was telling me about how he's going to turn 76 next month. He's run the Boston Marathon like 7 times. Like, that is insane. He's doing this, like, after getting his hip replaced. And I'm just like, that is, like, wow. Like, and here I am, like, about my ankle. But, like, it was just so cool getting to talk to her and getting to know her. And then when her husband finished, he was definitely, like, wobbling a little bit. And she was kind of talking about that. And I just had an opportunity to pray over him and get my hands on him. And I was just so grateful. Like, it was just an incredible opportunity to pray over someone. And I'm just grateful that the Holy Spirit has just really been on my heart to be more bold in those moments and to actually pray for people. And so that glory goes all to God, and so I'm just really grateful for that.
Wow. I don't know what part is the most powerful of the whole thing. That's impressive. I'm thinking, wow, after a replacement, and then I'm like, wait, how old is he? You guys, I've not run a marathon. I am, I'm not going to say I'm not because God's funny, so I'm not going to do that. But that's not my idea of fun. But wow, that's impressive. Yes.
Two quick testimonies. One, their prayers, their love are sent to this church. Thank you for standing up with them, Bob and Gail Buse, who live in Florida. It got real close to them, and they're only without electricity for 5 minutes. Within a mile, it was just obliterated. But they're fine and they're safe, and they wanted to have me tell the church, thank you for your prayers, and thank you for hanging in there with them. And the other is just something Deborah and I walked into in the favor of God. Had an appointment, doctor's appointment. We went to get some food. Restaurant that we would go to had closed, and they had just reopened Monday. And we decided, well, we'll go check it out. You know what I mean? So we went to check it out. When we got there, nobody helped us. We came through the doors, and we sat down at a table. Nobody helped us. The guy in the wheelchair, nobody helped. That does not make sense in most cases. And so we were sitting there and looking at a menu that we're unfamiliar with, and this young man comes around the corner. His name turns out to be Ryan. Ryan says, has anyone helped you? I said, no one's even talked to us, because I was getting ready to leave. I'll go somewhere else. And he said, well, you're not in my section, but I will take care of you if you let me. I'll do it. I said, sure. So we got a chance to talk to him. He's from Arizona. He's dropped over 100 pounds in weight. He showed us pictures of this huge, Ralph, what do you call those? Big animals that nobody's ever really seen, but they say exists. Bigfoot. He looked like a Bigfoot. We're talking big boy. And he started lifting weights, the bodybuilding, everything in there. And we got a chance to share Jesus, but he started sharing Jesus first. He beat me to the draw. That doesn't happen. And he did. And he'd been invited, he and his girlfriend, to come and visit us. They said they will. I'm sure they will. But I'm telling you, I didn't go in there with the attitude of inviting someone to church. I was leaving because I was dissatisfied with the way I've been treated. And yet this young man comes up and shares the love of God by greeting us and making us feel welcome. Wherever you go, let God use you as an ambassador of grace and kindness. And you'd be surprised who you get a chance to talk to and who you get a chance to help.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. Rarely does someone beat my dad to the punch of witnessing. That's impressive. Any others? Yes, Pastor Charity.
Well, hello and good morning. I just wanted to share a quick thing that the Lord led me to do this week. And I just feel like I would like to share. So I'm not sure which details he's going to allow me to share, but I'm just going to go for it, okay? So this week, this is not a thing to like put myself on a pedestal at all. I just felt like I needed to pray through my neighborhood. And so I get up at 0:30 with my dog, and we just walk along the neighborhood and we pray. And so I just did that for a couple of days this week, and I found out that there was some kind of witchcraft that was going to be going on. in my neighborhood an event. And so I was like, oh, that's why you had me do that. Cool. Thanks, God, for letting me know. And so I just, like, I felt like I really needed to, like, you know, I was serious with my prayer walk, but it was more, I don't want to say casual because I was definitely praying, but it was like I needed to be more direct with what I was praying for. And so I was kind of preparing, and I was like, okay, I was like setting out the night before because I get up really early, so I want to make sure I'm quiet whenever I get up and get ready. So I'm like, okay, God, so all of my stuff is all put out. What do I do? So, like, does anybody ever feel like that? Where you're like, okay, you told me to do this. What's next? And so I was kind of a little unsure of myself, if I'm really honest. And I was just praying, like, okay, I'm not going to stress out about this. Like, I even woke up in the middle of the night. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? How do I do this? Do I, like, ask Brandon to pray for me as I'm doing this, but that will get him up? I know he doesn't care, but, you know, like, all the scenarios going on in my mind. And so I just felt like I was like, I'm not going to worry about it. He'll give me direction in the morning. And so I've been reading this book on prayer and how to pray. And I open up to this page and it says, like, because I'm like, how do I do this by myself? Like, I know it's loud, but, like, is it allowed, you know? And so I'll just kind of wrap up a little bit. But I read this page and it says, like, the prayers of one or two people are enough. And so I was like, okay, that's awesome. And so I just invited God's presence into my walk. And was anybody here last week at all upstairs? So you know how, like, powerful the service was last week, right? It, like, the presence of God was just like that. Like, I wasn't even up here last week, guys. I went up, I was in the overflow room grabbing granola bars for the kids, and I could sense the presence of God was so strong and powerful. And I had to, like, stop. Like, I have granola bars, like, in my arms, and I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm just like, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm so excited for what's going on in the service right now. And I just had to stop and pray. And that's how it was as I was going on that walk. And I could sense that he was there with me on that walk. And so I just want to say that to just encourage you that one person is enough. Like, your prayers are enough. And so, because I, you know, I'm a pastor, but I'm still, you know, learning things as I go as well. And so I just want to encourage you that it's okay that it's just you praying for something, because your prayers are, your small mustard seed faith is enough for God to do something powerful in. So I just want to share that. I hope that was encouraging to someone.
Thank you. That was so good. That reminded me of something Jim Hockaday said when he was here. Says all you need is a mustard seed. And he goes, it's why do you think that is? Because the mountain you're looking at is really not as big as you think it is. That really and truly what you have on the inside of you makes everything else look minuscule. And it's not real. That really reminded me of that. Thank you. That was so powerful. Anybody else before we get going? Don't want to miss you. And going once, going twice. Oh, he's put the. This is not my doing. Why come?
No. So. I think it was probably May timeframe when I got notified that I got picked up for this awesome program called Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama. So, of course, Tiffany and I were praying and determining whether or not it made sense for us to uproot our entire family and go to Montgomery. So with the prayers and everything, the Lord spoke to us and let us know that that was not the plan he had for us. It was for me to go to Montgomery by myself, but he would provide a way for us to continue to communicate with one another, for us to be able to see each other every 2 to 3 weeks. And what I'll tell you, he's been very faithful with that. You know, Tiffany and the kids, they've been able to fly out to Montgomery see me. I've been able to come home fairly often, and it's been great. So yeah.
Wow. You know, that takes a lot of courage, but it also takes a lot of faith. And God has something for you guys because of that obedience. And I know it was a sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice. But there's something, he's going to honor that faith. God always honors faith. You remember that verse that says, "What can I do for you?" Get specific about what you want him to do for you, and he will do it. He will do it. Goes for all of you. It's Mona too. All right. Ready to get in the word?
Yeah.
Okay. This is last week, round two, okay? If you have your Bibles, head on over to James. James 1. I'm going to begin in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Now, wait a minute. Sounds like an oxymoron. You ever heard that? It's like, wait, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That doesn't seem joyful. Anybody else? It's like, count all joy when you get mailed a check that you were waiting for. Woo, that is joyful. Count it all joy when there was no traffic and you made it perfectly and you got your coffee the day was perfect. But it's like, count it all joy. And I'm like, yes, for what? When you fall into diverse temptations. Huh. Okay. So we're going to go there today. And this, God has been working with me through this, and I believe today that you're going to get the answer you have been asking God for. Are you expecting today?
Yes.
So right there, it says what a sound mind does. In Romans, a sound mind, we can also say this. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So here, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So right there, what does a sound mind do? The moment something shows up, it starts rejoicing. This is what a sound mind does. The moment. Now, I will be truthful with you. The moment something shows up, rejoicing is, generally speaking, the very last thing that you will ever feel like doing. I know from experience, maybe you're different, and God bless you. Teach me your ways. But this week when something would show up, I'd be like, I do not feel like rejoicing. No. No. First thing in the morning. I mean, it was like heavy. And I get married up, and I put on the song we listened to last week. And let me tell you, it was like chugga, 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 to try to get myself there. But my feelings caught up. And I had a little boy who wasn't feeling good, who had a rough night. And as I'm praying, and he's laying down drinking his milk, and I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, he's learning how to handle mornings like this right now by watching what you do. And that put a little pressure on my rejoicing. Because it wasn't about me. It was, someday he's going to be 23 and waking up without me there. And these need to be the things he saw so he knows what to do. You need to know what to do, but you also need to do it. It's not enough to know. I can know the word of God all day. But if I don't let the Holy Spirit minister to me while I'm reading it and help me understand, it's just information. And I need, in moments when it does not feel natural to me, to start in the morning. Anybody else not a morning person? And it's like, just don't move me, don't breathe on me, don't look at me, don't speak to me. I've got nothing to offer you right now. I have to choose. And it is a choice.
It is a choice, and often it is the one that does not feel natural. It did not feel natural for me to put on that song and start jumping in the morning. I mean, I was like, ugh, a little nauseous, to be honest with you. I don't feel like, you know. Anybody else? Sometimes it's an act of faith to just start bouncing. It's like I'm dancing in faith. And before I knew it, I started getting a little, I was like, yeah, it's good. Started kicking, and then Merritt was like, huh. Got out from under his blanket, put his drink aside, and was like, and if you knew my son, you know that's how it begins. There's a little bounce to it. And you know, that would not have happened had I not chose in a really uncomfortable moment the choice of rejoicing. Because there were things all around, and I did not feel like rejoicing. And you know, it is the one of the biggest acts of faith you make is to go, you know what? Don't care how I feel. I rejoice. And usually what happens is you start rejoicing and things begin to just lift off of you. Lift off of you. I know from experience, but I also know how intense that moment can feel from going, I don't know, it's a really hard day. Really intense feelings and emotions. And they're real. You can feel them. Anybody else, you felt really intense emotions or feelings? And I mean, they're real. And in the moment, catch this, in the moment, I decide what's real and what is going to be real. And I decide I'm going to rejoice because that is what's going to be real today. Not fear, not anxiety, not worry, not depression. I am choosing. When you can choose, I'm not going to choose addiction. I'm not going to choose worry. I'm not going to choose fear. I may feel it. I'm not choosing it. I choose rejoicing. And rejoicing is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Right thinking, a renewed mind starts rejoicing. And we aren't rejoicing because we're being opposed. There's nothing to rejoice about that. I was like, I'm not rejoicing that I'm feeling like this. This sucks. I'm not rejoicing for this. What you're rejoicing is because you know in opposition, you know the outcome. Is I'm not fighting to win. I have won because he did. And he is in me. So anything else contrary is not truth. And I'm rejoicing because even in the midst of arrows flying, of fear trying to come and knock on the door, you know the outcome. It's already been. Are you with me? It's already been taken care of. And we are enforcing the victory that he gave us when we begin to rejoice. Say, I rejoice. I choose it. And it changes things. And it changes me. Changes circumstances. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, now we're counting it joy because we know something. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. The Amplified Classic says this, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Have you ever felt enveloped? I have. Every side. Meaning there's opposition all around. And it says, be assured and understand. That's powerful. Be assured. It's a sure thing. And understand, which means we can misunderstand. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. He helps us understand the Word of God so that we can work with it. And it can work with us. It says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. See, when you understand something, you respond a certain way. Merit understands I'm in charge. Because he understands that, he responds a certain way. In other words, it's saying when you come out on the other side of this, you're going to be fortified. Your faith is going to be strong. It's going to be enhanced, strengthened. You know, it is one thing to read about faith. It is another thing to know faith worked for me then. It'll work for me now. That's why we do testimonies like that, because you go, God did it for them. Surely he will do it for me. God is moving. God is working. When John the Baptist, remember, the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, and then later he's not in a good situation, and he says, is he really the Son of God? And they sent testimonies to him. Oh, yes, people are being healed. People are being set free. And they begin to testify. Why? Because it stirred up that faith and that assurance that, oh, God really is doing something. He really is who he says he is. That's why your testimony is such a huge deal, because it gives someone else the right to believe that it will work for them too. It gives someone else permission to, instead of spectating, to go, why not me? I'll step in on that. I'll rejoice. I'll lift my hands in worship. Yeah, I'll look uncomfortable. Wouldn't it be something if the people standing still in worship were the weird ones? Wouldn't that be something? I believe that is how it really is. And I'm not calling you weird if you stand there. That's not what I'm saying. You do you. That's fine. I'm saying it is an act of faith sometimes in moments to go, I'm raising my hands. I don't feel like it, but I'm doing it. Oh, Lord, I'm moving. I'm a bouncing. We're getting something going. We're working. And it is an act of faith. You know, it takes no faith for me to stand there and listen. Here I am, standing here, listening, but in a moment, when it feels like opposition is all around you, it's an act of faith to start moving. And that, see, joy and rejoicing start stirring the anointing on the inside of you, because to the degree the anointing was in Jesus, so it is in you. And rejoicing stirs that up. Say, stir it up. Stir it up. It's the doing, it's the applying. Faith is experience. It's not just knowledge. It's experience. I am Merritt's mom. That's knowledge. But my experience with him. Do you catch what I'm saying? I know I'm his mom, but it's me working as his mom. This is how we get to know each other. This is how we get in the groove in our household, because it's not just like, I'm your mom. Here I am, couch potato. I'm your mom. That should be enough that you know that. No, I'm working with him. Yeah. I'm working with him. I'm proven. I'm your mom. Mm-hmm. I am your mom. It's not just knowledge. It's a working. Your faith is not just, I have faith. No, it's, I'm working with it. Say, I'm working with it. I think when we read about people in the Bible and we find a lot of stories that are so inspiring, we often don't resonate with them. And we read it as a story in a fiction book. These were real people. They were like you, they were like me. This was not just God picked the most special, these were the unspecial people. And he chose them and he told them how to work with faith. And it was rejoicing. Like, Paul is writing from a prison. And he was telling people, rejoice. People out of prison, the man in prison is saying, rejoice. So not only was he saying what he was doing in prison, but he was saying, hey, this is the key. Because rejoicing changes what you see. Rejoicing changes the situation you're in. Rejoicing changes what's trying to envelop all around you. Rejoicing changes things. It changes in the natural things that look real but are not. It changes. And he was saying, hey, not only am I telling you to rejoice, but I'm in here doing what I'm telling you to do. I'm rejoicing. You can rejoice your way out of anything. We don't rejoice because we're going through something. We rejoice because we know the outcome. We know the outcome. And you know, in rejoicing, it's interesting how when you're rejoicing and you're working in faith, God will correct things that need to be corrected. You'll hear the Holy Spirit differently because you're in that spirit of rejoicing. I have gotten words from God more than any other time when I've been rejoicing. Because my spirit is connected with God. What do you think heaven is doing right now? They're not standing there. They're rejoicing. It never ends. It's a continuation. And it says heaven's rejoicing and praying for you. It's never ceasing. There's never a time in life where we should not be rejoicing. Doesn't mean that circumstances look like you want them to, but rejoicing can change those circumstances. That's why James says, rejoice in the face of opposition, because power will flow in that opposition and you will be delivered when you rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10. In the Amplified says this, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink. See, they had been out of fellowship with God. And they'd been going against the plan of God. And now they've heard the word and repented and are in a state of moving forward. And it says, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to him for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And be not grieved and depressed. He was telling them, hey, this is where you've missed it in the past. In past generations, he was telling them not to grieve their misses. This is powerful. For the joy of the Lord is their strength and stronghold. He was saying, hey, God flows when you're joyful, not when you're depressed. And did you know that it is an act of worry to constantly be thinking about your past? Not just worry does not just go in the direction of your future. It goes in the direction of your past too. They were grieving things that they had missed. This is one of the things that the enemy will come at you for is, hey, you really missed it. You missed it. Oh, think of all the ways that you should have handled that. Think of all the ways that should have went differently. Think how maybe you didn't know what you didn't know. Or maybe you did know and you still did it anyways. See? And you'll worry about those. What if that really messed up my son, my daughter? What if that's altered, you know? What if if I could just go back. And you're reliving situations over and over and over and over again. Listen, you may have missed it. That's why Jesus came. He factored it in. You are redeemed from your misses. Shame off you. That was then. This is now. It doesn't say when you became a Christian and you asked Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life that you got an upgrade. No, it says you became a brand new creation. That past you is dead, gone, null, and void. You are Christ. Regardless of what you did, regardless of what you said, regardless of what you missed, you are now the righteousness of God by His grace, not because of you, not because you did enough to earn it, not because you obeyed yesterday and wow, now He can bless me today because I was really doing the will of God. No, because you accepted Him, you are now Christ wherever you go. He is in you, you are in Him, and you cannot separate the two. And the enemy will try to go, look at the past, look at the past, look at the past, look at the past. How could you do that? What was wrong with you? How could you have done that? And Christ said, that's the reason I came. I factored in every miss, and they are now null and void, for they are the righteousness of God. They are the head and not the tail. They are above only, and they are never beneath. That is who you are. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Not because of me, but because of Him. Shame off me. Shame off you. You know, you pray with a different posture when you pray from a place of, oh, I really messed that up. Versus, I am the righteousness of God. And when I say something, Jesus Himself has spoken it. It says the Holy Spirit is your rear guard, and when you speak, He speaks through you. That means whatever you do, He'll back you up. And you may have missed it this morning. You are the righteousness of God. Leave it and go. Leave it and go forward. Christ is you. It says when God looks at you, He sees His Son. You're factoring misses that He does not even remember because you're a new creation and it's covered in the blood. He can't even see it. Why are you looking at it? Do you remember when Lot's wife, it tells us in the Bible there are amazing women all throughout the Bible and it says, but remember her. I thought, well, why? She kind of sucked, to be honest. I mean, of all the ones to remember, that one? Yes, I'm very sorry, parents. My mom walked so I could run, you know. She said, crap, and I just was like, got it. We're going. Yes, but do you remember her? And it says, remember her, not Mary. I mean, his mother. All the women to remember, it says her. It says because she looked back at the past with longing. Not just looked back to look at it, which is another moment for another day. But she looked back at it with longing. May have thought those were the good old days. Or remember when life was just easier and I didn't know what I know now. She looked at it with longing. With longing, you know, sometimes you can look at your past and you've rethought it so many times that you almost long to go back and relive those again and again. Leave it. Yeah. She turned into a pillar of salt. She could not go into the future that God had for her. She had a future. And because she could not stop worrying about her past, she never went into the promised land that she could have. Renounce your past. Remember the lesson and go forward. You are not that person anymore. You know, maybe you're like, as a teenager and that person, well, they don't like me and they kind of have a reason to because, man, I blew that up. Not good. That person's gone. We've had the funeral. It's over. You are not who you were. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your misses are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why he came. Shame off of you. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. You know, he strengthens you when you rejoice. You may go into it feeling really weak. I've so been there. And the more you do it, the stronger you feel. And I will do it until I feel a break and a release. Philippians 3:1, look what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Amplified Classic says, delight yourself in the Lord and continue to rejoice that you are in him. To keep writing to you over and over of the same things is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your safety. Delight yourselves in the Lord and continue to rejoice that you are in him. That's what you're rejoicing about. It is not the opposition, it is I am in him and he is in me. I am no longer Mercedes, I am Christ. You know, you will walk into situations differently when you walk into a room as Christ. Meaning, I know it's not me. Anybody else fully aware? Fully aware. But you go into a doctor's appointment. You go into your home. You go into the grocery store. I am Christ. Christ is me. And when I go in here, I have the same authority as my Father. The same authority. Don't move from your place in him. In him is everything. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in him. Again, I say rejoice. So he's saying, hey, your answer, if you've been looking for one, is rejoicing. It's the answer. He wasn't rejoicing, he was in prison. He was rejoicing that even though he was in a dark place, that the truth was actually that in Christ was victory. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Grasp that. Opposition, that's what's in the world. Greater is he that is in you. See, I think we look at the God's power as here and the enemy's power like right underneath. It's so far away, you couldn't even see it. God's power, the enemy, listen, every demon in hell at one time dogpiled upon Jesus and it wasn't enough. And that power is what is in you. Right now. Right now. You remind yourself of that. When I speak, that same God that defeated every demon in hell all at once is what is in me, is what is speaking through me. So when I speak to a situation, I speak to it with the authority of God on the inside of me. It matters what your attention is on. Because that is what will flow in life. You know, you'll be at a dinner table, and you're constantly talking about what's opposing you, the issues, what we're fighting against. It's just the topic of conversation. We're talking about it at the dinner table. We're talking about it on the way to work. We're talking about it on the phone with our cousin. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. And at some point, you are going to have to decide. Either my attention is going to stay here, and we're going to continue to talk about the opposition. And you can make that sound very Christian. Have I been at your dinner table? Or you're like, Mercedes, were you there last night eating pasta with us? Constantly talking about the opposition. What are we going to do? Well, we're believing God. Well, we're believing God. You know, a lot of times your miracle is as simple as a shift in your attention. And to go, I'm not looking at that because that's not real. I'm looking at him. And when you begin to focus on Jesus and what he did for you and what you have in him, that stuff begins to fall right off of you. Have you ever seen at like a farm when they have a bunch of dogs and their water bowls are out there and you go kind of in the morning and there's bugs and nasties in there? Anybody? Bugs? I hate bugs. There was one in Merritt's stroller the other day, and I left it outside. I was like, you can have it. I'm not touching it. Merritt, sorry, no stroller today, baby. Dad's going to have to come and deal with this. I hate bugs. But all it takes is for you to grab a hose and just keep letting that water go in, and everything else starts to get out. That's what happens when you focus on who you are in Christ. It's not even just focusing on the Word of God, and I'm not diminishing that, but it's focusing on Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit help you understand who you are. You are the righteousness of God. Christ is walking around in you. Let him loose. I love Cassidy prayed for that person. Christ walks around in you. Rejoice, not in opposition, but that you are in him. You are in him. That's the flow of faith. You talk about lack, it will keep coming. You talk about sickness or pain, it will keep coming. You talk about Jesus and the price he paid for you and how free you are, and that baby is what you will begin to live. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity here. We're going to rejoice. And I was praying, and I kept seeing what we did last week, and I thought, God, they're going to get really annoyed at this song. And he said, well, praise brings the anointing, so they can get annoyed or they can get free. Let them decide. And I went, uh-huh. Yes, sir. So we're going to do that. But before, I wanted to, if everybody would just bow their head, close their eyes. If you've never accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. If that's you, would you just boldly raise your hand? I don't want to miss anybody before we go to the next part of the service. Anybody? Okay, I assume everybody in here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If online you do not, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I renounce every bit of my past, and I accept that from this moment forward, I am your child. Not only am I your child, but I am filled with you. I am in you. You are in me. And your Holy Spirit, I ask to fill me as well. In Jesus' name, I am a new creation. I am in Christ. And I have the Holy Spirit to guide me the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, you are a child of God. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to continue to help you. But now the rest of you, stand to your feet with me. We're gonna play this song, and maybe you've never lifted your hands, or you've never, you know, done the merit. That's what we'll call it, the merit. The little bounce. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're like, I'll feel stupid. Maybe you will. Or maybe you'll be free. I'd rather be free than be afraid if I looked a little funny. I look a little funny anyways. Thank you. So we're going to praise. And listen, I will lay hands on those of you after this, for those of you that want it, okay? But a lot of you just realize that your rejoicing will break loose and break free. You don't need me. You need him. And you've got him. He's right there inside of you. Let him loose. Rejoice a little.
Will you do that today? Say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. All right, let's worship together.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.